right. So yesterday we I mentioned in passing almost when we were doing the Meiri in Horios the way the Beis Halevi reads that Gemara in Nazir about the Korban Pesach. Remember we said just to quickly chazer the Gemara in Maseches Nazir tells us that there's a pasuk tzadikim yelchuban poshim yikashluban, and the pasuk refers to two people. They both have to bring Korban Pesach. One of them eats the Korban Pesach l'shem mitzvah, and the other one eats it l'shem achila gasa. So the one who eats the Shem Mitzvah is Tzadikim Yelchubam. The one who eats the Shem Achila Gasa is Poshim Yukash Lubam. So we pointed out that the Beis Halevi develops this idea that there are two mitzvos achila when it comes to the Korban Pesach. There's the mitzvah of achilas Korban Pesach, and there's a mitzvah sheyehei ne'echa. There's a mitzvah to actually eat it, and there's a mitzvah to see to it that it gets eaten. As opposed to all other korbanos, there's only a mitzvah sheyehei ne'echa, a mitzvah to see to it that it gets eaten. The main nafkamina between a mitzvah sachila versus a mitzvah sheyehei ne'echa. So the Beis Halevi said, nafkamina might be if you're eating an achila gasa. An achila gasa is not called achila, but it might be called sheyehei ne'echal, that it gets eaten. Another nafkamina I pointed out last night is, what if you eat pachos mikazayis? Pachos mikazayis may not be an achila, we may define achila as kazayis, but pachos mikazayis is certainly sheyehei ne'echal, that it's considered to be that it gets eaten. So I just came across this morning in Rabbi Sachs's Sefer, I hadn't noticed this in his in Orchos Yamim, in his piece on Mitzvot Shichus Kavana. So he has a whole discussion of this Beis Halevi as it relates to Mitzvot Shichus Kavana. So I'm just going to take a short tangent before we go on in terms of the Rishonim on Mitzvot Shichus Kavana, how we paskin whether Shichus Rein Shichus. So it starts with the Gemara Maseches Chulin Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara Chulin tells us Nafla Sakin Veshachta. Let's say you have a knife up on a shelf and the wind blows and the knife falls off the shelf and it happens to fall in a slicing motion and shechts an animal. Perfect shechita, right in the right spot, does a perfect shechita on the animal. Remarkable coincidence, right? You got to get that on YouTube or whatever, but it says the Gemara pasul shechita. Why? Shenemar v'zavachta v'yachalta. Masha ata zaveach ata ochel. Whatever you shecht, then you eat. But if you didn't shecht it, you can't eat it. Says the Gemara, Taima dinafla hahipilahu ksheira. That's only if it fell. But if you knocked it down with your own koach, even though you weren't trying to shecht, you just knocked the knife off of the shelf, it fell off of the shelf, sliced, didn't fall. You knocked it off of the shelf, it then went right down and sliced the animal's neck in a perfect shechita motion, so then it's going to be kosher, even though you had no kavana whatsoever to shecht, the Gemara says beferish. So the Gemara says, well, leaving out the whole ensuing discussion of the Gemara then tries to connect this to a nida shene'en savitavla. Let's say a woman was a nida and she fell into the mikvah. So is she tahora? When she falls into the mikvah, she didn't go to the mikvah to be mitar herself. She happened to be near a kosher mikvah and someone shoved her in. One of her friends thought it would be funny, so they shoved her in. So she ended up in the mikvah. Is she actually tahora from that tevila? So the Gemara goes on to say, nida shene'en savitavla amar vidam rav tahora lebesa va'asura lechel betruma. Rabbi Yochanan Marav lebeisa lotara, but according to Rabbi Yudah Marav, she is tahora. She's not allowed to eat truma, but for whatever reason, but she is tahora. The Rambam paskins ein shchita sachulin tzricha kavana. In the second parak of Hilchos Shchita, to shecht a regular animal, you do not need kavana. Even if you shecht derech schok o shezarak sakin lenoatza bekosel, you're throwing knives in a knife throwing, you know, like a dart kind of game, and you throw the knife and right then and there an animal just walks by with its neck up and boom, it shechts the animal right there. So that is a kosher shechita, says the Rambam. It's perfectly fine. Now wait a second. If we were to hold mitzvah strichos kavana, how could we possibly then also hold that such a shechita would be kosher? And how could we possibly hold that such a tevila would be kosher? After all, mitzvah strichos kavana. So the Ramban in his Perush HaMaseches Chulin writes, Had the pligi rav Rabbi Yochanan b'tevila shelo b'kavano pligi tanoi b'shechita dafka b'mitzvos halalu shein matirin v'yesh b'em hechsho l'davar achir. What does that mean? What's Ramban saying? That there's a difference between a mitzvah and a matir. A mitzvah needs kavana. Mitzvah, maybe you would say mitzvah strikes kavana, but something that's not a mitzvah per se, it just allows you to then do something else. It's a matir, a woman goes to the mikvah, it's not that there's a mitzvah tzvila, it's matir her lebesa. It allows her to be with her husband. A person doesn't have to do shechita, it's just that if you want to eat meat, you got to do shechita. So it's matir, the basar of that animal, ba'achila. It's a matir, it's not a...
Mitzvah?
So it could be that it's a kiyum mitzvah, but the Ramban says since primarily it's a matir, let's call it, you're not going to need kavana. The Ramban phrases it, ve'enon ba'atzman davar shebechova. It's not something that you have to do. Aval b'shar mitzvah shel chova ibay kavana latzeis v'lavar lo mari klal el plukta tanai v'amorei b'psachim rashana. He says this sugyon chulin has got nothing to do with the shas topic of mitzvah shriks kavana. Shas topic of mitzvah shriks kavana is about mitzvahs. This sugyon chulin is about a matir. So a matir, it could be even if you hold mitzvah shriks kavana, a matir does not need kavana. Yeah.
New York nowadays.
Right. Would it be possible that it would be matir her, that she wouldn't be anida? Yeah, Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva about this. Are you familiar with this tshuva? Rav Moshe says there's a halacha that there are different issues of yichus. Some issues of yichus are highly problematic, like a mamzer. So that's highly problematic. There's nothing, there are very few etzas of what to do with the mamzer, how a mamzer could be matir his children. Moshe has another tshuva about that. If he buys a wife as a shivcha instead of marrying her in the normal way, so then the shivcha, the children of miyuchas, after, say, he's got to find a woman who's a guy who he could buy as a shivcha kananis, who's willing to convert. You know, it's got to be. So it's a whole. That would be like a very high level problem. Then you have lower level problems of yuchas and isra lav, let's say. But then you have some problems that aren't even meaning. You have isra kares between there. You have nida, bowl and nida, so it's an isra kares. So that's a problem in terms of the bia itself. But in terms of yichus, what does that do? Does that ruin the yichus? Meaning, if let's say the parents were eating treif food at the time that you were conceived, so is that an issur of you? Is that a problem with your yichus, or it's just no? They happen to have been doing an avera. So if a man is boel anida and she conceives, so that's a yichus problem, or it's just that they're doing an avera. So the poskim call it a vlad pogum, not that there's a psul and there's no issur for anybody to marry them. But there's some pagam with the child. If the child was conceived with the bias nida, there's a pagam. So there was a bachur that asked Rav Moshe, it's in Igros Moshe, that the bachur asked that he was dating a girl and she was a balas tshuva, and there's no way at the time that she was conceived that her parents were observant of taras hamishpacha, that they were keeping the halachas of taras hamishpacha. Her mother was never at a mikvah in her life. So the guy said, look, I'm dating this girl, she seems wonderful, she has refined midos, she's machshav Torah, she's a wonderful, wonderful person, but how much should I be concerned about that pagam, about that that pagam in her personality? And what's his concern? He said, I'm not worried about her, because her I know, she's fine. So the boy said, but I'm worried, maybe she's fine in spite of that, and she's able to overcome a genetic disposition to the negative because she's such a strong personality. But how do I know my kids are going to be this strong, so to be able to overcome such a negative disposition? So if I were Rav Moshe, I'd probably say, and if you marry the most miyuchas person in the world, how do you know your kids are going to be so strong to overcome all the yetzer haras in the world? You do your best, you marry the right one. Rav Moshe says, something only Rav Moshe could say. He said, I'm a stomach, her mother wasn't the nida. What do you mean her mother wasn't nida? Probably she went to the beach sometime before she was conceived, and she was in the ocean, so that counts as a tevila. So I'm a stomach, she wasn't a nida, and there's no pagam. So yeah, there is such a concept that a woman having no kavana whatsoever to be tovelas still just happens to be fell into a mikvah at the right time, and her bathing suit is not a chatzitza midaraisa because it only covers the meat of the body, and it's not, well, probably, you know, she wasn't from, probably only covers the meat of the body. So whatever it is, or it's a loose, maybe it was loose fitting and it allows water to go through. I don't know the material bathing suits are made out of. I don't know if they allow water through or that. Whatever it was, he wasn't so concerned about it. So, but that's the way he expressed it. And stomach, she wasn't needed to begin with. So anyway, but we see from here so far two exceptions. But both of these exceptions, Ramban just explains away. They're a matir. That's why you don't need kavana for these things. Not because mitzvos ain't shrichos kavana. These are a matir. It has nothing to do with mitzvos shrichos kavana. But then there's a third exception. The Gemara Maseches of Avodah Zarah Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph tells us, Tanya, Yisrael malas hakuti, v'kuti lo yimol Yisrael, mipnei shemal l'shem hargrizim. That a kuti, you cannot allow a kuti to give a mila to your child, because the kuti will be mal. What is a kuti? I should define some terms over here. So this is a machlokas tanoim, I believe, what a kuti is. This is machlokas comes up in a couple of places in Shas, in Kiddushin, what, Ayin Hay or so, in the fourth parak Kiddushin, and in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Ksuvos. So machlokas, what a kuti is exactly. Kuti is either gerei arayos, either these were people who converted because out of fear of lions, that they were afraid they were going to get eaten up alive if they didn't convert, and therefore their conversion was totally invalid and they are mamish goyim. Or kutim or geri emes, but they're just bad guys. They don't really, they never really stuck to the mitzvos the way they should have stuck to the mitzvos. So they're Jews, but they're bad Jews. So we're afraid of mixing in with them. So that's the two deos. But anyway, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, don't allow a kuti to mal your child, because you have to worry, maybe he's going to be mal l'shem ha'grizim. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Amalo Rabbi Yossi, v'chi heichan matzinu mila min ha'toru l'shma. Elamo l'holich ha'shateitzi n'shmaso. He says, who cares if what he's mal l'shem? If he does the mila l'shem ha'grizim, l'shem molech, l'shem, I don't care what he does the mila for. As long as he does the mila, he's a good doctor, he's a urologist, he could do a decent mila. Good, let him do a decent mila. What do you have to worry? Malvaholech hachatetzi nishmaso, an interesting expression. You know, let him be mal until the day he dies. Some molim taka do mal until the day they die. It's not so smart. Probably they should retire a little earlier, but let him go and be mal until the day he dies. So apparently, the Malor Roim over there on that Gemara asks, wait a second, Rabbi Yossi is the one who holds in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavtes mitzvos Shrichos Kavana, and it's the same Rabbi Yossi saying, who cares what he's mechavim for? Doesn't matter. Let him just do the mila. It's fine. So wait a second. Mila's not a matir. Doesn't seem to be. Mila's a mitzvah. Mila's a real bona fide mitzvah. It's not just a matir. So the Ramban's teretz doesn't seem like it's going to work for mila. So now, if we're keeping score at home, we have three seemingly exceptions to the rule of mitzvah shrichos kavana. We have shchita, tvila, and mila. That for none of them do we say mitzvah shrichos kavana, even if normally we would hold mitzvah shrichos kavana. The Gemaras in all three of those contexts just say, yeah, it's okay, don't worry, you don't need kavana, and don't even raise the issue of whether mitzvah shrichos kavana. They don't even bring up the phrase, they don't even discuss it. So what's going on over here? So says the Beis Halevi that there are two types of mitzvahs, and the Beis Halevi is not alone in this. Rav Elchanan in Kovit Shiur Mechelik Beis Simon Chav Gimel Ozvav writes this explicitly. He writes, "Matzinu shnei sugei mitzvos." There are two types of mitzvos. Forget about mitzvah versus matir. Within the world of mitzvah, there are two types of mitzvahs. And just to I'll read you the way he phrases it, and then I'll use terminology that I'm a little more comfortable with. Number one, he says, one type of mitzvah, sha'asiyas ha-maisa al yedei ha-adam, hi guf ha-mitzvah, kigon shofar lulav, where doing the action itself is the mitzvah, blowing shofar, taking lulav, just doing the action is the mitzvah. And number two, she'ikar ha-mitzvah, hi totsa'as ha-maisa, Kigon Pidyon Shvuyim. The Ikar Mitzvah is not just doing the action, it's creating a certain result. It's making a certain result occur. That is the Ikar Mitzvah. Like Pidyon Shvuyim. It's not about the action of paying money. If I'm a sweet talker and I can get the guy who's holding the captive to let them free without paying the money, so Matov Manayim, that's wonderful. If I could, whatever I could do. The key is get the guy free. Get the guy out of prison. Or Priyas Balchov. It's not about the maisa of paying the money. It's that I have to make sure that I don't have any debts left and that I've paid up all my debts. Piri verivya. It's not about the maisa of having a baby. It's about continually meaning not, how do you say it? It's about being in a state of parenthood. I guess that's the best way to say it. It's not about the maisa of having the baby. It's about creating a set, or maisa of having bia. That's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is being a parent. And if you could be a parent without having bia, so it's also a key mitzvah of puruvu, probably, right? It's not about the maisa. It's about the totsa. So that's the way the achronim basically say it, that there's maisa-oriented mitzvos and totsa-oriented mitzvos. action-oriented mitzvos and result-oriented mitzvos. Says Rav Elchanan that this chiluk between these two types of mitzvos has many nafkaminos. Top nafkamina on the list, mitzvos tzrichos kavana. When do we say mitzvos tzrichos kavana? Only by action-oriented mitzvos. By result-oriented mitzvos, your kavana doesn't matter because your maisa doesn't even matter. What matters is the result. Kavana is something that enhances your maisa mitzvah. But if the maisa mitzvah is not even critical, all that we care about is the result. So who cares about the kavana? If the result is achieved, the result is achieved, and that's the end of the story. There's nothing more to talk about. So by pruruvu, the mitzvah is that you have to have children. Let's say a person gets married and they're not yet observant, or they are observant, but they don't know that there's such a mitzvah called pruruvu, and they want to have children because they want to be a father. I want to be a dad that takes my kid to the Yankee games. So that's why I want to have children, not because I want to do the mitzvah pruruvu. Absolutely no kavana l'shei mitzvah. And the guy is a father of several children, of a boy and a girl at least. So he would say, now he realizes there's a mitzvah pruruvu. Uh-oh, I never did it with kavana. So l'man yar mitzvah kavana. He's got to have two more, another boy and another girl to be mekayim the mitzvah? Of course not. It's a totso-oriented mitzvah. It's a result-oriented mitzvah. And as long as the result is achieved, so that's good enough. Rav Elchanan then connects that to shlichus as well. Okay, he connects it to a lot of things. But that could explain very well shchita, Mila, Tevila, right? The three exceptions that we had to mitzvah shlichus kavanah. In all these cases, the Gemara assumes, hey, even if you're throwing the knife against the wall, it happens to shecht, good enough. Even if you fall into the mikvah, and that's good enough, tahora. Even if you if the kuti is mal your child, that's good enough. Also, l'shem har grizim, whatever his kavanas are, it's all good enough. It's all fine if he's doing any of that. So why is it? Because all three of these mitzvos are totso-oriented mitzvos. None of them are maisa-oriented mitzvos. By mila, it's not about the maisa, it's about being mahul, not being an arel. So now that he's not an arel, now that he's mahul, he can eat korban pesach, he has all these halachos of being mahul. Tevila, it's about being mutaris labayla. So it's not so much that it's a matir, it's a mitzvah. You make a bracha on it like a mitzvah. It's not just that it's a matir. It's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah that's meant to achieve a result. Shchita, it's to achieve the result of getting kosher meat. Yeah?
It seems a little arbitrary. Maybe there is a maisa in doing mila.
Ah, very good. I was like say over the Rugachever in Ishim Vashitos, the Rav Zevin has a sefer called Ishim Vashitos, where it's a beautiful sefer. If you ever like, I used to read it in the sukkah a lot because like, when I was going to sleep in the sukkah, it was like a nice sefer to read because it's like a biography, but it's not so much a biography. What he does is he takes like 10 or 15 great gedolim of the past 200-300 years, and he gives you an intellectual biography of each gadol. So what do I mean by an intellectual biography? Like a Nefesh HaRav kind of biography, meaning like not about their life, and his favorite color was blue, and his favorite food was meatballs, nothing like that. It's more, I don't know why I said meatballs, pizza is the standard, everyone says pizza, meatballs better, right? So, can't argue with meatballs, but my son was telling me last week, he goes, I like that so much. I like it almost as much as meatballs. But it's more biographies of this is the way, this was his style in learning. This is the way his brain worked. This is the way he analyzed things. So with the Rugachever, he said one of the Rugachever's unique things, a lot of fascinating, he has like 10 pages in everybody and like 100 pages on the Rugachever, because Rav Zevin was been biased by the Rugachever. So he has more to say about the Rugachever than he does about anybody else. So one of the things he says, first of all, every story you ever heard about the Rugachever, about his sharpness and his, wittiness and meanness. According to Rav Zevin, it's all true. Like every single, all the stories come from there. Rav Zevin says, "Yeah, I was there. I saw this story, that story, unbelievable." But one of the things he says about the Rugachever, first of all, he says if you ever read the Rugachever's shuvas, you can't understand a word that he's talking about because he writes in such shorthand and he's such a super duper genius. He assumed everyone knew how to decipher what he wrote, much like the Gra. He assumed that everyone knew how to decipher it, but it's very, very difficult to decipher anything in the Rugachever. He wrote in Mar Makomos. He just wrote posa. That was Yadua in Europe. If you had a kasha on a sugya, if you were in Tells or or brisk or whatever, and you had a kasha and a sugya, and you asked all the rabbeim in your yeshiva, and no one was able to answer, they would say, oh, this you could send to the Ragachavner. And you'd send the postcard to the Ragachavner, and he'd respond with all maramakomos. That was his style of writing. Rav Zevin says that you might think that he was a bad speaker, too, because he would fail to explain himself. He said he was the best orator he ever heard. He said he was an unbelievably clear speaker, crystal clear. It's hard to imagine that it's the same person. But anyway, one of the things he says about the Ragachavner is that whereas Reb Chaim was always big in Tzvei Dinim, that it's a din in the Chetza, a din in the Gavra, a din in the Maisa, a din in the Totzah, right? It's always Tzvei Dinim. The Ragachavner was always made three dinim out of halachas. He broke that things down into three parts. And as an example, he gives two examples, I think. I just don't remember the other one, but one of the examples he gives is Mila. He says Mila clearly has three separate dinim. There's a din, a mitzvah, to do the maisa mila. There's a mitzvah sheyehe nimol, to be someone who's nimol. And there's an iser shelo yehe orel, not to be an orel. And there are nafkaminas between them. And he comes up with a variety of nafkaminas. That you could do the maisa of mila and still not have the, and that's a mitzvah, and still not be, meaning why does a father get the mitzvah of mila? What mitzvah is the father doing if it's a totzah? So it's not the father's becoming nimol, the baby's becoming nimol, but for the father's fulfilling that element of the maisa of mila, the maisa itself is significant. Which of course raises the question about the Kuti, keeps it as a very, very strong question about the Kuti, yeah.
In those studies in Kedushin of the Mila stuff, so there's discussion within like the Yishon Ma'achorim whether the mitzvah, is mitzvahs have ben mitasa ab.
Right.
So it's a question of, is it the mitzvahs have ben that the father does, or is it actually the mitzvah of the ab?
Right.
So could Mechora give Tali in that? Or if it's the mitzvah of the ben, so he just has a mitzvah to be nimol. Can't do it in 8 days.
Okay, good. But if it's a mitzvah sa'av, okay, very good. Could very well be.
Also, is there any difference between like a kusi and a straight up?
According to the Mandiyama Geri Arayos, no, there's no difference. It's a major question. It's hard to fit into all the different sugyas in Shas. So tomorrow's daf yomi and nida daf lamed beis, the bottom of lamed lamed beis, we're starting benos kutim. Perek benos kutim, and it says benos kutim are nidos me'ari sasan, that we assume that they're a nida already from the time they're in their cribs. So all the Rishonim try to figure out what's the Mishnah assuming. Is the Mishnah assuming that they're Jewish or not Jewish? If they're not Jewish, then they don't have any status of nida to begin with, right? They don't have there is no such thing as nida. How could you say that they're geri arayos? They're not Jewish. So that sounds like it's saying that it's Geri Emes. Okay, so there's a lot of discussion throughout Shas. Anytime the word Kutum comes up, they discuss it.
You know? I feel like Mila also has a Mater aspect to it also. Eating the Karm Pesach.
Right, that's what I was saying before. It does have a certain element of Mater that allows you to eat the Karm Pesach. Yeah. It's okay. So what Rabbi Sachs does, pretty amazing, is he goes through... five different nafkaminas between maiso-oriented mitzvahs and totzah-oriented mitzvahs. Right? So far, what do we have? We have nafkamina mitzvah tzrichas kavada. That if it's a maiso-oriented mitzvah, you need kavada. If it's a totzah-oriented mitzvah, it's no kavada. So he points out in Parshas Kiseitze, the Kli Chemda, writes that when it comes to mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru, you don't need kavana. He says, why do you not make a bracha on mitzvah shemin adam l'chaveru? You don't make a bracha when you give tzedakah, you don't make a bracha on kibbut aveim, you don't make a bracha on any of these mitzvahs, because you don't need kavana. So if you don't need kavana, maybe you don't need a bracha. Well, what does one guy do with the other? Kavana and a bracha, what does that have to do with each other? So remember what we say from the Debihudi yesterday. The whole point of the bracha is to reinforce your kavana, that it's to heighten your kavana. Whenever you don't need kavana, maybe you don't need a bracha. And for mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru, you don't need kavana. Why? Why is it mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru you don't need kavana? Why would you not need kavana? Why is it any different than taking a lulav? Giving tzedakah. Why do I not need kavana to give tzedakah? Just that the guy gets the money. Because apparently because all mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveru are result-oriented mitzvahs. They're totza-oriented mitzvahs. They're not mice-oriented mitzvahs. And any time the din is in the totza, the mitzvah's in the totza, so you don't need kavana when it's completely in the totza, when it's not in the maisa. Another nafkamina where this comes up. The Rav Yosef Englund, Asfonda Araisa, Klal Yud Gimel, discusses, we know there's a concept called Anas Rachmana Patre, that you want to do a mitzvah, but you had an onus that you couldn't do it, so don't worry, it's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll take it, you know, it's okay, God forgives you for that. Anas Rachmana Patre. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, what does that mean, Anas Rachmana Patre? Does that mean that you're completely putter from the Kiyum HaMitzvah? Or no, maybe you're still a Bar Chiyuva, it's just that since you're not able to be Mekayim your Chiyuv, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks the other way. But you still count as a bar chiyuva. I mean, do we say when you're an onus, you're just not a bar chiyuva at all, because the onus takes away your chiyuv? Or no, you are a bar chiyuva in the mitzvah, it's just that you're excused for not doing it. So says Rav Yosef Engel, v'nirla niyazdaiti diyesh la'achriya pesher davar b'plukta zos, diyesh beiz mine mitzvahs. He says it depends what kind of mitzvah you're talking about. One is a mitzvah shebein adam l'makom levad, ubezeh asvar nosen esdein HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'bitruni embryosav, umechayiv achas misha yachol l'kayim a mitzvah. He says, when you're dealing with the mitzvah shebein adam l'makom, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, all right, amochel, you don't need to do this mitzvah, you're pater. I will take away your status as a bar chiyuva, because you're honest, I know it's not your fault. And therefore, you're not mechayiv at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask of you something that you can't do. But, he says, when it comes to mitzvah l'chavero, making a makal gagecha, prias balchov, you owe the guy $1,000. So what, we're going to say, you're an anus, you know, you lost all your money with Madoff or whatever. You're an anus, it's not your fault, you don't have any money left. So what do we say, you're not a bar chiyuva? You don't owe the guy $1,000 anymore? Of course you're a bar chiyuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say you're not a bar chiyuva. You're a bar chiyuva, but it's understandable that you can't pay it back if you just pashut don't have any way, any means to pay it back. But you can't say on a mitzvah b'nei l'chavero that you lose the status of bar chiyuva. That's how Rabbi Yosef Engel is mechalik. Says Rabbi Sachs, based on this chilik between Maisa and Totsah, maybe we could say a little better, maybe we could say different. When it comes to mitzvahs b'nei l'makom, the ikur is always the Maisa mitzvah. It's almost always the Maisa mitzvah. And therefore, ones will be enough to pater you when it's a Maisa mitzvah, will pater you from doing the Maisa. As opposed to a mitzvah where the ikur is the Totsah, even if you're not able to fulfill the chiyuv, and all bit on the chaverus just happen to be Totsah oriented. So whenever the mitzvah is in the Totsah, so then it's going to, then we're going to say that there's no such thing as Anas Rachman Apatri. It reminds me a little bit of the, I think it's the Avnei Nezer's explanation of why it is that how much money do you have to spend on a mitzvah normally? On a mitzvah, say, how much money? Fifth, right? And Vazir Zali, Vazir Zios, and Michomish. Spend up to 20% of your money on a mitzvah, say. What about on Ner Chanukah? How much money do you have to spend if you don't have Ner Chanukah? Mocher Ksusa. You have to sell your clothing. You have to do whatever you can. What other mitzvah do you have to sell your clothing for? Dalit Kosos. Right? Dalit Kosos, Ner Chanukah. No, these are mitzvahs midrabanan, right? And you have to sell your clothing for these, and for mitzvahs midaraisa, you don't have to sell your clothing. So you tell me that, so I think the Avnei Nezer explains that what's unique about these mitzvahs, these are mitzvahs of Pirsumei Nisa. Pirsumei Nisa, by definition, are Totsa'a-oriented mitzvahs. They're not Maisa-oriented mitzvahs. Meaning, it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do this as a service to Hashem, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say, I know you really wanted to do it, so I'll make it ki'ilu asah, I'll make it as if you did it. Don't worry, it's on me, it's good, I gotcha, I got that your kavanas are in the right place, and that's fine. That's great when it's a maisa, but when there's a totsah that's supposed to be achieved, namely, that a nes is supposed to be, you're supposed to be mefarsim a nes, and the world is supposed to see the miracle. So if you were never mefarsim neis, and no one saw the miracle because of you, you never accomplished getting other people to see the miracle, so how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, yeah, it's as if you did it? What do you mean it's as if you did it? Maybe your heart was in the right place, but it never achieved its desired result. So says the Avnei Nezer, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just say, it's as if you did it. He says, you got to pay up, you got to do whatever you can, by any means possible. You need to, now obviously if we put these two votlach together, it would turn out for every mitzvah on the chavero, they have to give up everything you have, and adrabah, we the halach is actually the opposite. Now for mitzvah on the chavero, you almost never have to spend money on mitzvah on the chavero. With the exception pretty much of tzedakah, mitzvah on the chavero, you're pretty much tzedakah, pidyon shvuyim, know, there are a few right. Far between. Bikur Cholim, you don't have to spend money. Nichum Avilim, you don't have to spend money. Gemilas Chasadim in general, you just have to do Chesed Begufo. Kibur Aveim, halacha is Mishal Av. You spend your father's money for Kibur Aveim. You don't spend your own money for Kibur Aveim. He says, I want you to go to the grocery store for me. You say, okay, I'll take your credit card and I'll happily go buy all the groceries for you. But it's you don't have to spend any money for it. Okay, so it doesn't match up 100% exactly. That's just what it brought to mind. Another nafkamina, the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia Dav Tzadi, raises the following issue. Mal sheyomar adam lenachri chasom parasi v'doshba. Can you tell a guy to muzzle my animal and thresh with it? We know it's lo sachsum shor b'disho. You know, the pasuk in the Torah says you're not allowed to work an animal while the animal is muzzled. It's not nice to the animal to do that. So mi amrinan ki amrinan mir lenachri shvus hadi milin shabbos disuskila avol chesima disulav lo adum lo shna. And what it says, I know there's nisra of amir lakum. Where's classic amir lakum? In what area of halacha? By Shabbos, yeah, because Shabbos is nisra skila. What about lo sachsum shor b'disho? Is there amir lakum there too? The Gemara asks. Then the Gemara says, Tashma, the Shalchule Lavud Shmuel Halim Tori de Ganvin Armayu Umeganchin Yason Mahu, Shalchu Aramis Avibu Yarima Levi is Davnun. Which essentially, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's usher to tell a guy to be Choseim your para and be Dashba. You're not even allowed to do Amir La'akum on Losachsum Shabadisho. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Gimel also writes, it's asur lomar lagoy lesaris behema shalanu. If you want to neuter your pet, it used to be there was a show on Price is Right. I can't imagine it's so long because the guy's got to be dead, but he's dead. Okay, so different guy, there's someone else. So he used to finish every show by saying, and don't forget to neuter your pets. So neutering your pets is against the Bible. They still do it. It's against the Bible, right? The Torah says, the Chumash says that you're not allowed to be misaris, an animal. This was Eitan Kasmel's Tamin Alacha topic that he was very into. So you have to, there's an Issa Daraisa to neuter your pets. So what's the big sugya? Just go ask the veterinarian, go to a non-Jewish vet, and that... I still have not figured out how there's such a thing as an Orthodox vet, because that's all vets do. When animals get sick, they kill them, and if they're not sick, they neuter them. That's pretty much all they do, as far as my understanding of it goes. But anyway, so the Rambam paskins, you're not even allowed to ask a guy to do that. So the Rambam says, and the Rambam also paskins in Hilchos Klayim, that it's usher to plant Klayim for a guy, but you could tell a guy to plant klayim for you. So what's going on over here? Why is it by chasima, by sirus, amir lakum zaser? But by planting klayim, that's fine. Tell the guy to plant the klayim, as long as he does it, it's okay. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the Rambam holds that it's also to tell a guy to be choseim or to be mesares, because by both of those isurim, the isur is the totsah, it's not the maisa. By the totsah of having a behemoth that's suffering, it's not the issur of chasima. It's not the issur of working the animal. It's the fact that you're being mitzar of the animal. This is one of the shittum gvetzes in Bamatzia Lamed Beis, where the Gemara discusses tsar bali chayim, whether it's daraisa or drabanan, right? So the Gemara says tsar bali chayim daraisa. There are 13 or 14 different shittos in Rishonim. Where is it in the Torah? Where is it in Chumash that there's a din of tsar bali chayim? This is where Rav Asher Weiss, one of the places where Rav Asher Weiss in Minchas Asher says, no, this teaches you if there are 13 or 14 different places that it might be from, probably it's from none of those places, because you know it would be much more clear if one of them was the real source. So Rav Asher Weiss said, no, where does it come from? Ratzon HaTorah. That there's a concept that just the whole theme of the Torah tells you not to cause unnecessary anguish to God's creatures. That's just the whole, if you have any sensitivity to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And that's enough to create a Din D'Oraisa, says Rav Asher. But anyway, Shittim Gvetzes doesn't say that way. Shittim Gvetzes says, L'sachsum Shor B'disho. It's a Din causing tzar to the animal. It's a Totsa-oriented mitzvah. Sirus is a Totsa-oriented mitzvah. Not to have a behemoth, a Mesureses. It's not about the Maisa of doing the Sirus. It's about having a behemoth then that is no longer able to sire children. That's the problem of Sirus. As opposed to by Klayim, the Isser of Klayim is an Isser in the Zeria. It's not an Isser in the produce that's produced with Klayim. There is a Totsah, but the Totsah is not Asur. The Totsah is okay. You're allowed to have mixed fruits. You're just not allowed to plant them. The Isser is completely an Isser in the Zeria. The problem is, how does the Gemara compare that to the Amir La'akum on Shabbos? Right? When the Gemara asks about L'sachsom, it says, should we say it's just like Amir La'akum on Shabbos? Wait a second, Amir La'akum on Shabbos is not Totso-oriented, it's Mice-oriented. So the whole thing that makes L'sachsom unique is the Amir La'akum issue, so that makes it somewhat difficult. So Rav Salvation explained that when it comes to Melacha Shabbos, in addition to the Isra of telling a Nachri to do a Melacha for you, whenever it comes to Amir La'akum, let's say you never told the guy to do anything. You were sitting in a room as it was getting darker, and the guy came and turned on the light for you. Or let's say you weren't sitting in the room. The room was dark, that's why you weren't sitting in it. And the guy saw that you probably wanted the room, so he turned on the light for you. Are you allowed to then go into that room and enjoy the light? So the halacha is no. You're not allowed to be nanny, you're not even allowed to benefit from a halacha that was done for you. Now, if the guy was going into the room and the guy wanted the light, and they turned on the light for themselves because they were looking for something, and then on their way out they were about to shut it, you could say, wait, don't shut it. And then you can use the light because they were doing it for themselves. But if they're doing it for you, then you're not allowed to use it. So what emerges is that there are two dinim in Amir La'akum. There's a din of the actual Amira, and that's a din of Daber Davar, that your Dibor and Shabbos should be Shabbostik Dibor, not to speak about Malacha or to tell him to do Malacha. And then there's a separate issue of being nene from a malacha that was done. And that's a totsa-oriented mitzvah. So says of Salvation, maybe the comparison to Shabbos is on the level of totsa, is not on the level of maisa. Another nafkemina, the marachar zerua in a tshuva in simon kuf chaf ches, explains as follows. Heish mekadesh bo b'shlucha. We know the concept of shlichus, the source of the concept of shlichus, is kiddushin. Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin, a man can be Mekadesh by either taking a ring and going to a woman and saying, Harei HaMekadesh Shasli, B'tavah HaZukadash Moshe Yisrael, or giving it to a Shliach and telling the Shliach, do me a favor, I can't make it to my wedding, can you just be Mekadesh, my wife, for me, because I really want to get married tonight. So the Gemara says, Mitzvah Bo Yosur Mi B'Shlucha. Vim Kain, says the Marach Rezura, B'Shchita, U'Ba'afrash HaSchala, Ne'amar Bo, V'lo Yasa Shliach, Lishchot Be'Masu, L'Hafrash Chala Me'i Sasa. He says, why don't we say the same thing by Afrash Eschala, by Shechita? You should have to do it. Bo, Yosem Mishlucha, better for you to do it yourself than to have some Tvilas Caleb. Better for you to do it yourself than to hire, what are they called? I don't know, whatever they're called. What? No, what are they called? What? The Tovel boy, Tovel brothers, right, the Tovel brothers. So better for you to do it yourself than to hire somebody to Tovel your Caleb. Free advertising we're giving them here. For all four people that listen on Waitar. So the Gamla Yadati says, I also don't know. Eich Ru'uven Yevarech L'Shchitas Behema Shimon O'al Afrash Eschala Mi'isa She'enu Mitzuv L'Shchat Behema Zu V'lo L'Afrash Eschala Mi'isa Zu. Who makes the bracha? When you shecht for me, my animal, you're shechting it. Who makes the bracha? You make the bracha. But it's my animal, it's my mitzvah. You're just my shliach. Why are you allowed to make the bracha? V'gam maishna afrash eschala sheyachol kai mitzvah salayde shliach mikol ha-mitzvah tefillin v'tzitzah sukkah lulav v'chilas matzah. And also, when are you and when aren't you allowed to appoint a shliach? I can't appoint a shliach to put on tefillin for me in the morning. I can't appoint a shliach to daven for me in the morning. I can't appoint a shliach to eat matzah for me, to sit in sukkah for me. So why can't I appoint a shliach to be mafresh challah for me? What's the gedder? So there's a famous comment that the Tosfos read, and the Ketzos, okay, it's a big sugya. But says Marachar Zerua, V'shem ha-shchita v'afrash ha-schala ein mitzvasan ela she-titakein ha-isa. When it comes to shchita, when it comes to afrash ha-schala, the mitzvah is to be misakin the dough. The mitzvah is she-yishchat ha-neshchat, to have the behema geshachted, to be shechted, not that to do the maisa of shchita. V'chein kiddushin. Ikar ha-mitzvah she-tehei lo isha mekudeshes. It's not about the Maisa Kiddushin, it's about creating a Chalos Kiddushin, that she should be Mekudeshes. By Gerushin, Hafrashas Truma, Shechitas Kachim, Kviyas Mezuzah, Asiyas Maka, all of these cases, everywhere you find Shlichus, you find a totsa'a more so than a maisa. Tefillin, tzitzis, achilas matzah, sukkah, lulav, there's no shlichus. Why? Those are all maisa oriented. So why is it that so again, what emerges is yet another nafkamina between maisa and totsa'a. Maisa oriented mitzvos, you can appoint you cannot appoint a shliach. It's got to be your maisa. Totsa'a oriented mitzvos, you're allowed to appoint a shliach. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Asher, either Rav Asher Weiss or maybe even Rav Elchanan himself, I think on Bab Basra, mentions that there might be a third category. There are some mitzvos that are so purely totsa'a oriented that you don't even need a shliach. Meaning, to appoint a shliach means you can't have a katan do it for you. Katan is not a bar shlichus. A guy is not a bar shlichus. Let's say you want to build a makah al gagecha to make your roof safe. Can you have a guyish contractor build the makal gagecha, even kind of mitzvah? Of course you are. So totsah, you need shlichus. So it must be that there are some mitzvahs that are so totsah oriented, where really the maisa plays absolutely no role whatsoever. Some mitzvahs that are purely maisa oriented, like mitzvahs of love, and some mitzvahs that are somewhere in between. That there's a totsah that needs to be done al yedeya maisa. And that's where you need shlichus. The shliach needs to be someone who's able to be a bar shlichus, but the ikur is to create the totsah. But it's got to be totsah al yidei maisa. You have to create that third category, otherwise, you know, the guy building the makkah becomes a very big kasha. Shlichus what? Yeah. So you're saying shlichus is varver, is it a totsah or maisa oriented? So by varver, it's almost always maisa oriented, right? So you're saying, the Achronim asked this kasha. They asked this kasha, meaning if you're going to say that the Gemara says, how do I know in shliach ledvar avera? I mean, I ain't changed shliach ledvar avera, right? So the Gemara says divrei Rabbi, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomin has other suggestions. Fine, some limud teaches me in shliach ledvar avera. So if I'm understanding your question correctly, if every avera is mice oriented and it's not totsah oriented. So there's no shlichus on maisa oriented anything. There's no shlichus on the maisa. There's only shlichus on the totsah. So why do I need a makar for ain't shliach ledvar avera? It's pasha that ain't shliach ledvar avera, because every avera is in the maisa. It's in doing a maisa avera. It's not in creating a totsah. What if I eat chazer? It's that I've created a totsah of being a guy who's eating chazer. No, it's the maisa of eating chazer. You could argue that there's some averas that are totsah oriented, murdering somebody. A serious, right? So it could be that there's a. So maybe that's Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira would only be for those cases, those unique cases that are more totsah oriented. Right. Right. I'm forgetting the sugya right now. The what? Right. So the Gemara has three or four exceptions. Yeah. So, okay. So, yeah, so we got to go look at that sugya also. Another possible nafkamina. This is Gemara in Beitza, and maybe this will be the last one. This will be the last one we do. The Gemara Maseches Beitza, Daf Chaf Zayin Beis, tells us that you're not allowed. Well, it's pasha you're not allowed to be mati l'mum in a bechar. If you have a bechar that has an animal that has kedushas bechar, you're not allowed to create a mum in the animal to make it multiple shechita and then to be allowed to eat it. The Gemara says in Maseches Beitza, Daf Chaf Zayin Beis, you're not even allowed to do it al yedei grama. How would you do it al yedei grama in an indirect way to matil mum b'bechar? So they had a trick. They would take a piece of dough and put it on the animal's ear or on the animal's lip or something, and then put another animal who's very hungry right next to that animal, and he would bite off the piece of dough, you know, like Mike Tyson together with the ear. So that way, I didn't bite off the animal's ear, it was the other animal bit off the animal's ear. I just did all you did, grandma, by sticking this piece of dough, this piece of delicious cookie dough. Animal didn't have to know what bracha to make, just sticking this piece of food on the other animal's ear. So the Gemara Masech HaShabbos, Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, tells us as follows. Tanya, HaReisha Yashem Kosev Al Basara, the guys who were in my shiur this year remember this. If you had a Shem Hashem written on your skin, Hareza lo yirchotz v'lo yisoch v'lo yamol b'makom atinofes. If you wrote in pen, Yudke Vavke, the Shem Hashem, you may not bathe, you may not rub any oil on your skin, and you cannot stand in any dirty place. Nizdam nalo tvila shal mitzvah. What if you have to go to the mikvah? Then what are you going to do? Korich la gemi v'yorid v'tovel. Wrap something around it to cover it and go to the mikvah. Rabbi Yossi omer liolam yorid v'tovel kedarka. Nah, you don't have to wrap anything around it. Just go to the mikvah. Uvavach lei shav shef. Just don't rub it off. Go to the mikvah. Whatever the mikvah waters do to the Shem Hashem, the mikvah waters do. That's not your problem. So says Gemara, Shaini Yasam Domer Krav Vavadte Meshma Min Amakom Ahu Lo Tasun Kein La Hashem Elokeichem Asiyahu Da Asur Grama Shari. That dafka when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, the Isser of Mechikas Hashem is to do a Meisa of Mechikas Hashem. Gram of Mechikas Hashem is Mutter Gzeres Hakasuf Iach Yachinamik Siv Lo Sasa Kal Melecha Asiyahu Da Asur Grama Shari. Frak the Gemara, so Shabbos it also says Lo Sasa Kol Melacha. So we should say that every grama in Shabbos should be mutter. So we said, yeah, inachinami, there would be a heter of grama on Shabbos, but in a particular case where you're trying to save your money, we don't allow it because we're afraid you're going to extinguish a flame on purpose and you do it in a more direct way. But essentially, what the Gemara says is for Shabbos, for Mechikas Hashem, grama's mutter. Right, that there's no issue of grama. We had this, we discussed the shayla. Shai Shechter told me his father got the shayla. Rav Shechter was asked the shayla about the teacher was absent-mindedly writing a pasuk on the board and got to the Shem Hashem and actually wrote out Yud Kei Vav Kei on the board. And then they realized, uh-oh, what did I do? How do I, you can't erase it, so what do you do? So the shaila was, can you do some sort of gram mechika? Can you leave it there and let the custodian erase it? Is there anything that you could do to solve that problem? But gram mechika, if it were possible, Rav Shechter happens to hold that it's mutter in that case, that you were allowed to, there were etzos, there you were allowed to let the guy clean it up at night or whatever, there were etzos of what to do. But I think in Nefesh HaRav, he writes, Rav Soloveitcher was asked that shayla, and he made them cut out the piece from the board and bury it. And Imamish made them. And Shai Shechter told me that Rav Shechter, that the guy who asked Rav Shechter the shayla decided that he's going to be machmir from Soloveitcher. It would be a good chinuch opportunity for the children, show them how serious, you know, Shem Hashem is. One could argue that good chinuch opportunity, it's, how, you know, it's hundreds of dollars to replace a board. So what kind of use of Mamon Hegdish is that? Okay, so I don't know, it's debatable. Debatable chinuch point. But anyway, gram mechika is permissible according to the Gemara. So, but maybe based on our yisod, maybe the difference between so what do we say though? When it comes to atalas mum, grama is asir. So why is gram mechika okay and gram atalas mum not okay? So he says maybe the chiluk between grama by atalas mum and grama by melech Shabbos and mechikas Hashem is that by Shabbos and mechikas Hashem, the Torah dafka asirs the asiya. How do I know? Because the Torah says, lo, by mechikas Hashem, lo sa'asun kein la Hashem elokeichem. By Shabbos, kol melacha, lo sa'asa. You can't do. It's maisa. It's asiya. But by Bechor, when it comes to lo sa'as kol melacha by Shabbos, but when it comes to Bechor, when it comes to being matal mum on Bechor, the isser is not the maisa of being matal mum. It's making a behem, a puzzle, to be used as a for a krava, for a karban. So in that situation, maybe even al yedei grama is going to be asir. So that's another nafkamina between maisa and totsa. When it's a maisa oriented mitzvah, then grama's mutter, because grama is not a maisa. When it's totsa oriented, then grama is going to be asir, because it doesn't matter whether it's a maisa, it still accomplished the same result. Okay, so now it took a little longer. The tangent was a little longer than I wanted, but let's go back to our discussion. What are we paskin? Right, we saw throughout Shas there's always this machlokas. Tzrichs kavana, rein tzrichs kavana. Tosos Maseches Pesachim of that Kuf Tes Vav, source number 7, seems to assume very clearly that mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Tosos discusses the case of the person who was memali kreso, who already filled his stomach on vegetables that are kosher for marar at the time of karpas, and then later he still wants to eat marar with a bracha. So Tosos says, well, if you didn't have kavana for the mitzvah of marar when you were eating the karpas, so then it doesn't seem to be a problem, because we pass on halacha mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Now, if you take a look at Tosos Maseches Sukkah, Tosos Maseches Sukkah seems to say otherwise. Tosos Maseches Sukkah is source number 15. Yeah, source number 15. Tosfos Sukkah discusses the following issue, the following problem. There is a halacha when it comes to Netilas Lulav, Mida Agve Nafakve, that the second you pick up your Dalad Minim, you've already been Yotze the Mitzvah. So what do you do about the Bracha? The halacha in Hilchos Brachos, the Birchsa Mitzvah, is that a Birchsa Mitzvah always has to be made over Las Yasan. Over Las Yasan means right before you do the Mitzvah. Like mamish the moment before you do the Mitzvah. So if you have your Lulav and Esrog sitting there on the table, and you make the Bracha while it's sitting on the table, and then you pick it up, so by the time you're holding it upright, it's already a two-step process. It's lifting it and then turning it upright. So that's not over Las Yasan, that's over to over. That's too many steps removed. It's too long before. Unbelievable. It's what? A half a second, a second? But that's too much before, because not because of the time lapse, but because of the steps. That there's more than one step to get from the Lulav and Esrog sitting on the table to you holding it upright. So how do you do the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav while still making the bracha over Las Yasan? So says Tosfos, the Gemara says, Kishavcha, just hold the Esrog upside down, make the bracha. No, because then it's only one step. No, you're Yotze even without shaking. Nuim are not Ma'akiv, the mitzvah. You're Yotze even without shaking. Midagve, just as soon as you lift it, you're ready Yotze the mitzvah. Nanum is very interesting. What it is Ma'akev, what it's not Ma'akev, but Pashlus Nanum is not Ma'akev at all. A Katan is not a Bar Chiyuva until he's Yodea Linanea, until he knows how to be Menanea the Lulav properly. He's not Chayv and Chinuch. But it's not Ma'akev the mitzvah. So it's just one step of flipping it over. So says Tosfos, from the fact that.
One step of just picking it up?
No, because you got to pick it up and then turn it upright. Because it's sideways on the table in the stomach. I don't know why, if it's standing in a holder or something, where you just pick it straight up, maybe that would be better. I don't know. So says Tosfos, why do you have to come up with this Eitzah of flipping it upside down? I have a better idea. If you hold Mitzvahs Ein Shrichas, he says, it must be that you hold Mitzvahs Ein Shrichas Kavana. Because if you hold Mitzvahs Shrichas Kavana, just pick it up without Kavana to be Yotzei, make the Bracha, and then have Kavana to be Yotzei, and that's it. And then it's Mamish, over Las Yasan. How long does it take you to have Kavana to be Yotzei? It happens instantly. So says Tosos, Mashmid the Sphere laid the Mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana. Dalkaya, Motsi Lushasram, Hasmein Shaykh Miskavin, let's say it's called Kamadal Birich. Vodai, Ribal Kitzabaki. Okay, he brings Ryans. He says, Vitema, the Sofaru based in Damarav, Mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana, Kamosvla Abai Tuva, Vishema Abai Kiblamine. We find that Abai asked Kashas on the sheet of Rava, Mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana, but maybe at the end of the day, Abai was Mogad Rava. Okay, so says Tosos in Mesecha Sukkah, Mitzvah Saint Shrichas Kavana seems to be the Pashad understanding of the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yonah in our sugya though has a very different approach. What do we say? What happened in our sugya? You were holding a cup of beer. You thought it was wine. You started saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, thinking that you're going to finish off Baruch Pri Hagafen, and then you smell it or you look at it and you say, "Hey, this smells like Yankee Stadium. This must be beer. It must not be wine." So you finish off Shakal Ni'abedvaro instead of Baruch Pri Hagafen. Right, so the Rishonim ask, why doesn't the Gemara raise the issue of Mitzvah Shrichas Kavana or Mitzvah Sein Shrichas Kavana? That what does it matter that you started off the wrong way? Mitzvah Sein Shrichas Kavana, it's no problem. As long as you hold Mitzvah Sein Shrichas Kavana, it should be fine. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah, a phenomenal Chiddush, Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah over there, and source number 17 over here, he writes, the Yesh Lomar, the Afilu Misha Sober, the Mitzvah Seinan Tzrichos Kavana, Haini Mili Bedavar Shiesh Bo Maisa, Sha Maisa Hu B'Makom Kavana, Kigon Netilas Lulav. Almost the opposite of what we said before. Even if you hold Mitzvah Seinan Tzrichos Kavana, that's only when there's a Maisa to the Mitzvah. When there's a Maisa that you're doing, you don't need Kavana, because the Maisa is enough. But when there's no maisa to your mitzvah, your entire mitzvah is only dibur, it's only amira, it's words alone, but there's no actual maisa mitzvah. So then everyone would agree mitzvah strichos kavan. Now, when we use the term maisa over here, we're not using it in the same way that we were using before when we were contrasting maisa and tzah. Previously we were contrasting whether doing the mitzvah is important or accomplishing what the mitzvah is trying to accomplish is important. Over here, we're discussing everything. Both sides of this chakira are about doing the mitzvah. It's just there's doing a mitzvah in an active way, through action, and doing a mitzvah through speech. But it's all about doing the mitzvah. Meaning, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, the mitzvah of a bracha, is not in the totsa'a, it's in doing the mitzvah. It's in actually saying the words. But when the mitzvah involves activity, physical activity, then we're going to say mitzvos ein srichos kavana. Because the physical activity is enough to make it a substantial action, a substantial mitzvah, even absent the kavana. But when the ikar part of the mitzvah is the dibur, then, or when the mitzvah is accomplished through dibur, then the kavana is going to become much more critical. If the whole thing is dibur, so that dibur has to reflect the sense of kavana. The sense of kavana, l'shem mitzvah. That's the Rabbeinu Yonah. So, we'll do one more Rishon. Did I include in the packets the Eretz HaTzvi, in the last two pages of the packets? Shafter, the first Simon, Eretz HaTzvi. What's the back of your packet, the last two pages, what you got? Anybody? No? All right. So we'll skip it for now. We'll come back to it. Maybe we'll start with it on Monday. Monday hopefully will be our last day of Mitzvah Kavanah, no matter how far we go. I don't want to stretch it out too long. Lean at it. But I'll just say over one other sheet. Kesav Mishnah understands the Rambam in source number 16 to say that he writes that even if you hold that Mitzvah Tzrichos Kavanah, and therefore without kavana not yotzei the mitzvah, whenever you get hana'a can substitute for kavana. That hana'a is enough to make it that you don't need kavana for the mitzvah. What's the case where you get hana'a? Kafao v'achol matzah. They're forcing you and you're eating matzah. But at the end of the day, filling your stomach, you're getting hana'a. So in a case like that, you wouldn't need kavana. Generally you need kavana, but when there's hana'a, you're not going to need kavana. So you got to figure out the svara for that. What does kavana do for me that hana can replace? Why would hana in any way replace kavana? Is hana megala that there must be some level of kavana? Probably not, right? Kavana means kavana l'shem mitzvah. So why does hana replace kavana? Okay, so this is something to work on. We also got to work on the Rabbeinu Yonah. What exactly is the svara to be mechali between mitzvah that's done alidei maisa, mitzvah that's done alidei dibur? So the very first piece in Rosh Hashanah's first sefer in Eretz HaTzvi discusses brachos taf yud beis, and particularly that Rabbeinu Yonah and how to make sense of that Rabbeinu Yonah in light of mitzvah's kavana in general. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll start with that on Monday.